streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Roy and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening, and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes. As we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight, so stay tuned in to the hottest radio show worldwide.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're definitely in the building tonight. We got a great show coming up. We got my man Scott calling in all the way from Detroit. He's going to be speaking on a lot of topics tonight, and I definitely want everybody to really be tuning in and get straight up educated, because that's definitely what this thing is all about, man, being educated, because anything could happen that you can get caught up out here. So without further ado, we're going to bring my main man in the building. Hey, hey, Scott, what's up?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
I'm good, my brother. How you feeling down
there,
man?
Thanks for
having me on. How the weather?
What did you say?
How the weather down that way?
It's good, man. We've had a nice fall so far.
All right, that sounds good, man. Hey,
it's
but we're going to get right into it.
It's not too cold yet. You know, in Detroit, you got to worry about those snowstorms. Hopefully, they ain't starting for another couple months.
You already know that, man. But, hey, Scott, we're going to get right down to it, man. I would like for you to tell the viewers what's been going on with you in, say, the last few months. You know, we're going to take it from there, you know, in the last few months of trying to help save a young man into great freedom. Now let's get into that topic, Scott. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, people that know me or know my work know that for the last decade or so, I've been really involved in trying to expose all the corruption and really the truth around the story that's known around Detroit as White Boy Rick Wershey, who was known on the streets as White Boy Rick in the 1980s. He was a flamboyant teenage drug dealer that reputation on the streets kind of far exceeded his actual placement in the underworld. And there's a ton of mitigating circumstances around his case. The long story short, to start off, he's been in prison since January 1988 for an arrest he took when he was 17 years old, a nonviolent drug crime or nonviolent drug arrest that was taken where the police found some kilos of cocaine on a routine traffic stop. And based on that one conviction, which was his only conviction on his record at the time, he was sentenced to life in prison without parole. That law that he was sentenced under was tossed in 1998, and everyone that was sentenced under that law in the state of Michigan, he was under state law, was eligible for parole. So fast forward 17, 18 years now, and every other prisoner convicted under that law has been released besides Rick Wershey. He's the longest serving nonviolent offender in the Michigan Department of Corrections. And to bring us up to date, like what Boyd was talking about, what's happened the last couple months is that early last month, it looked like he had a light at the end of the tunnel and that his kind of journey towards freedom was coming close to an end, and his judge had ordered him resentenced, saying that his punishment was cruel and unusual and unconstitutional, and his trial judge had the right to resentence him, or so she thought. And then the state of Michigan appealed to the state appellate court, and the judge's right or what the judge believed was her right to resentence him was stopped by the appellate court, and she was told she cannot resentence him. So he's back where he started from, which is trying to get the parole board to let him out, which, based on past, based on the track record of the parole board, it doesn't look like they have any intention of letting him out. There's a lot of people that I'm sure that don't know this case right now that are asking themselves, well, what specifically is keeping this guy who's now 40, you know, going on 47 years old, has been in there since he was basically 17 for a nonviolent drug offense. Well, where's the catch? And, you know, the catch is that kind of the second part of the story, which not a lot of people knew. Everyone knew about this teenage, this swaggering teenage white kid that kind of rose through the ranks in the Detroit underworld in the 80s and had kind of captured headlines. Everyone kind of knows that story. But the second part of the story that not everyone knows and not enough people know is that White Boy Rick was actually the creation of the U.S. government. And he had been recruited out of eighth grade as a 14-year-old by a federal drug task force made up of FBI, DEA, and Detroit Police Department. And at 14 years old, he was encouraged to drop out of high school. He was a freshman in high school. I think he went to about a month of class, and the force members were telling him to drop out of school and basically go on the government payroll as a informant, as a someone that would, you know, snoop around the underworld and get paid to bring back intelligence to the government. And he worked in this capacity for 2 years, and in a matter of 2 years, this 14, 15, 16-year-old white kid had gotten into the good graces of very, very powerful crime lords across the city that were not only, you know, not of his race or anywhere close to his age, but were incredibly powerful, violent, and rich. And these were the targets of this task force. And he was, you know, he was like a Frankenstein, where the government, I don't think, realized how good he would be at that job, and it kind of grown past where they could control him. They eventually broke off their relationship, and then Rick got arrested. He was also engaging in a relationship with the mayor's niece, who was also black, not of his skin color, which caused a lot of it was very tabloidy at the time. That the mayor's 25-year-old niece was running around with this 17-year-old, 16-year-old white drug dealer who was getting a lot of headlines. And the mayor of Detroit at the time, Coleman Young, the first elected black mayor of a major city, he ruled the Democratic political machine in Detroit for a good 25, 30 years. And there are a lot of people that believe that people loyal to Coleman Young, who's been dead now for about 20 years, people loyal to him are still pulling strings to keep Rick Wershey behind bars, where he stays today. And while it looked about a month ago, it looked like he was going to be walking out at the end of September, and like I said a couple of minutes ago, he's kind of right back at square one, trying to fight and scratch to get a second chance. And he's approaching 50 years old. So
wow. And you know, with that being said, Scott, I just want people to understand the story that Scott just said, man. You know, it's easy to get caught up out here, man, but it's hard as hell to come up out of some things,
yeah,
man. And,
yeah,
and when you come up out of some things, it's a blessing from the Creator, man. You know what I mean? Because you're going to know you ain't did it by yourself, you know? So it's a blessing that it got people like you and other people out here.
Yeah, let me also add for the listeners to say, well, another reason that Coleman Young, the mayor of Detroit, didn't like Rick was because while he was behind bars, he then started cooperating again with the government. And the FBI at that point in Detroit in the late 80s, early 90s, had a, you could almost call it like a bloodthirsty vendetta against the mayor's office, and was really eager to try to build a federal racketeering case against Coleman Young. And Rick was someone that helped them with those investigations. And even though Coleman Young was never indicted or arrested for his activity as the mayor of Detroit, a lot of people close to him were, including a big corrupt cop ring in 1992 or 93. And a lot of those people were specifically close to Coleman Young, one of them being the father of the Coleman Young's niece, so Coleman Young's brother-in-law, the father of Kathy Bolson, who Rick was dating. So there's just a ton of political strings and agendas, and I don't think it's a stretch to call him at this point a political prisoner.
Right, and I think you're right. You know what I mean? I feel that the young man done served his time. He's done served more than his time, you know? And my thing is, Scott, what can the viewers do? I mean, is it a pension that the viewers can sign, or what can the viewers do?
I would say get involved in the social media, the free wipe, it's freerickworshy.com on Facebook. People, I would say, you know, write the state senators in Michigan, write the governor, write the mayor. For whatever reason, another, you know, which kind of dovetails with what I was just saying, where it becomes political, I think all things being even and, you know, without any, just looking at everything at face value, it seems like in a lot of cities or in a lot of situations when this would be brought to light, that the powers that be in the city would get up in arms over the way that the parole board is treating this or way the laws were enacted and are enforced. But with Rick's situation, it seems to be the opposite. And the political powers in Michigan, specifically the governor, the mayor, and people like that are, I would say it's an understatement to say that they're reticent to get involved. They don't want to have anything to do with it. And in some ways, you might even believe that there are maybe not their part of the conspiracy, but people that are close to them are part of this kind of what I believe is this megawatt conspiracy being perpetrated to keep this guy behind bars and never let him come out and, you know, make him die in there for, you know, scapegoat him for an entire decade of darkness the city experienced in the 80s. The crack era was very detrimental to the city of Detroit. If people are listening that weren't from the area, it was a really dark era in the city's history in terms of violence and death and destruction on the streets. But, you know, to look at him as the face of that and want to punish him for the ills of an entire city while all these other people that were committing violence and were moving substantially more narcotics, which is, again, kind of the head-scratching thing with Rick's case. You look at him, and he kind of had this reputation, and an accurate reputation, as a kingpin. And when you first start looking at his case, you start to learn that he was a weight dealer, and he was dealing in kilos. And if you're 17 years old and you're dealing in kilos, you know, you're a bigger deal than most. But in the realm of power structure in Detroit drug world at that time, he was very, very, very low on the totem pole. He probably moved less than 100 kilos in a year's time, while you had other people that have been to prison and out, people that have been convicted of murders and so forth, that were moving hundreds, you know, not just 100, but 200, 300, 400 kilos a month, let alone a whole year or an entire career, which I believe was Rick's case. I believe he probably profited off of less than, you know, probably between 50 and 100 kilos altogether in a year's worth of drug dealing by himself. While these other people, like I said, you know, were convicted of moving 200, 300, 400 kilos a month over multiple years. And, you know, they've walked out. So it's very head scratching.
So my thing, Scott, what advice would you give these young folks out here, man, that's ever even thinking about doing any of that?
Well, I'm sure Rick would, you know, hopefully you can have Rick on your show at some point. He's his best advocate. And I think he's someone that has such a good perspective. And to talk to him and to listen to him talk about all the regrets that he has and to be able to see it from the perspective that I have as someone who's studied this case very intensely, as well as have built a friendship. You know, as a 17, 18-year-old, 19-year-old, even up into your 20s, mid-20s, you don't think about the repercussions of your actions and the ripple effects it's going to have. And for Rick to be sitting behind bars, he's got three kids he had when he was a teenager. They're all crushing 30 right now. Two of his three kids have kids. He's got six grandkids. He talks nonstop about, you know, he had no idea the amount of people this was going to touch, what he was doing when he was 16 or 17. And there are mitigating circumstances, and it shouldn't have been this long. But the fact is that his involvement with street activity has created has created tremendous amount of heartache and challenges for so many people that aren't Rick and that had nothing to do with what he was doing, people that maybe weren't even alive until a couple of years ago, like his grandkids, that get deprived of having a grandfather, or kids that were deprived of having a, you know, and Rick is someone who's as there as you can, as much as you can be from behind bars, is as active as he is with his kids and his nephews and his grandkids, but you can only be so much. The most active parent you can be behind bars is still not an equal and active parent on the outside. And I think that I would just say that, you know, what you're doing at that age or at the time, you know, even if it's not like Rick's case, if you have a 2-year-old, 3-year-old girl when you're 20 years old or 22 years old, and you got to go to jail for even 10 years, you know, that kid's going to be a teenager when you come home. And so I guess what I would say was just, not only do the streets don't love you back, but it's such a great term that you coined, and I think it's so appropriate and it fits so well, but they don't love your loved ones back either. And those are the people that you're going to be hurting in a lot of cases by getting involved in this and having to do prison time and deal with dealing with all the stuff that you have to deal with during that or after that, being connected to the state and supervision and not being able to, you know, have a full not have the ability, the freedom to parent the way you want and be there for your kids. And I just think that that's the kind of stuff that you can never replace. That time that you would be gone, like I said, even if it's not Rick's case, it's been gone almost 30 years now. Even if it's 5 years, that's time you never get back with your kids, time you never get back with people that need that time.
That's real, my friend, you know what I'm saying? And it's like with me, like I said, you start really enlightening me in the last 6 years, you know what I mean? You start really enlightening me on a lot of different areas, you know what I'm saying? Because I had moved on away from that many years ago, you know? But when I started listening to it and started saying, wow, okay then, this was what was really, really happening everybody else thought that was happening, you know what I mean? And it all just unfolded, you know, that, wow, he wasn't just no drug dealer, you know, he was put in the game to pretend to be a drug dealer and then became that, you know? So it just blew people's mind when they really found out that, you know, how he got used by them people. And he
said, you know, his dad's got to take some responsibility. You know, he would have never known that. He would have never known the FBI and all those people if it wasn't for, you know, his entree was through his father, who was an FBI informant, and the FBI agents that were using the dad to inform on people that he was selling guns to. The dad was a kind of a both legal and illegal peddler of firearms and stuff. Those members of law enforcement were introduced to Rick at a young age while he would just tag along with his dad on meetups with FBI agents and ATF agents to exchange money for information. And they realized pretty quickly when he was only 11 or 12 that she was a pretty precocious, sharp, savvy kid. And when the time was right, they saw it as an opportunity to use him for their own gain to build cases. But, you know, the dad had to be I would guess that 95%, 99% of all parents wouldn't even think about letting their 14-year-old kid, you know, not go to high school, you know, leave his freshman year of high school to go work the streets and get paid by the government to try to pretend to be a drug dealer.
That's
so in that regard,
that
wouldn't happen.
That is crazy.
So, but, the dad was, in my opinion, complicit in the act with the government. So
he was
ludicrous, unfortunately,
man.
It's unfortunate. And the dad kind of, I believe, instead of being a parent, he kind of saw Rick's stature and his, not that he was making millions of dollars, but he was making some money, you know, especially for a 17-year-old kid. The dad, I think, kind of, instead of, seeing that maybe he had made a mistake by letting his son do this and pumping the brakes and trying to pull away from it, which even if he had tried to do, I don't think he would have been successful. But instead of doing that, he kind of went the other direction and was like, wow, my son's rich, somewhat famous, and access to a lot of fun things and toys and places, and I'm going to jump on board for the ride. I want to go out to Florida.
Right.
I want to go on the boat.
Exactly.
I want to drive a nice car. I want to go to a nice restaurant. And so in that regard, by the time Rick was 17, 16, he was the father. The father was the son in terms of who was kind of providing for who.
Exactly. I already know. Yeah. But, yeah, man, you know, I just want to say, Scott, man, you know, I'm really glad that you came on the show tonight.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Without a doubt, man.
Let me know if you ever need
like
me to come back or you never need anything else. I'm always here for the cause and for the movement, and you guys do a great job.
Hey, we appreciate it, man. Anything else you would like the viewers to know, to check out again, this website?
Yeah, I got a new website I've been running for the last year. Got a lot of cool stuff if you're interested in kind of underworld history and current going on, called Gangster Report. So it's www.gangsterreport.com, and it's, you know, updated frequently. And we got a TV show that we're about to get off the ground, which would be a Gangster Report TV show. So keep the eyes open for that.
My man, sounds good, man. Hey, did you get that link I sent you with Cliff?
Yeah. I'm going to have something up about that.
Update that.
I will.
All right, my man. So, hey, thanks
right,
again,
thanks,
my
guys.
Man. Keep up the good works, and have a good
all right,
night.
Thanks, guys. Well, you too.
All right. Peace.
All right, buddy.
Robert Boyd to educate the youth. Order the book right now online at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, a place where positive things happen. The new social networking site developed by Robert Boyd and Lucinda to educate the youth. Come join the movement. You can make a difference. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The Streets Don't Love You Back.
Everybody's out here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life, and stop destroying your community. Stop destroying yourself, baby. But when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my
streets don't love you back. Come join the movement at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com.
money, the rise to power, violence, gangs, drugs, death, self-destruction, prison, the true life story of Detroit kingpin Rob Boyd, a must-read book. This book will be available online, worldwide, to order at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com, at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, indiebound.org, and borders.com. Also available in Detroit at Harlem World Books and Videos and at Human Bookstore on Frederick Douglass Boulevard. It's everywhere, so go ahead and order your autographed copy today. The streets don't love you back.
What up, though? 48 Records presents The Streets Don't Love You Back, Volume 4. Coming to a platform near you, July 17, 2015, with some of the hottest independent artists in the nation. Available to you on www.cdbaby.com, iTunes, Google Play, and Amazon. July 17, 2015, baby. Make sure y'all go out there and support that, alright?
Streets don't love you back. I come from an era where we move that crap. We doubled up times, we came right back. And every time we left, we had to have that strap. The streets don't love you back. Yeah, I said the streets don't love you back.
Including iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Music, and more, featuring some of the hottest independent artists nationwide. Check out details on thestreetsdontloveyouback.com for upcoming events, merchandise, and more. The Streets Don't Love You Back Volume 2, available now. Go and get it. But the streets don't love you back.
Hey, are you looking for a new look and be fresh and hot at the same time? Well, my peeps, check out the Streets Don't Love You Back apparel. T-shirts, thermals, tank tops, sweatshirts, camisole, hoodies, shorts, fitted caps, leggings, snapback caps, capris, jeans, beanies and scullies, backpacks, and much, much more. The Streets Don't Love You Back apparel for men, women, and children. Log on to www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com/page/store-1. That's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com/page/store-1. The Streets Don't Love You Back apparel, a better way for a new look and be fresh.
What's good, people? This is your R&B pop addiction, Deion Price, and I'm rocking with the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. My new single, Down, is available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and any other online store right now. Go get that. Are you down like you say you down?
Baby, are you still down? Are you gotta stay or go? I don't really want to. There's no other choice. hold you up. I can only be the one that hold you down. I can never let them just show you up. When you see them hoes, you know you showing out. When you going out, Coco Christian, Louis Mason, all the latest British. You are nothing like them basic bitches, so you rocking real gold. Ain't no dimish. Girl, you know I'm out of getting paper. Tripping cause I said I'll call you later. You know I'm on the grind and I come home to you, loving you down and still you call me player. Who that's gonna hold you down? Who you calling, he gonna come around? I don't get it, why the f*** you tripping when you know for sure that I ain't f***ing around? Baby, you down like you lay down.
Thanks for listening to the Streets Don't Love You Back, hottest radio show worldwide. You know, we had a great guest on tonight, Scott, in the building. He was talking about a little corruption and things like that that goes on around the world all day, every day. So we have to be very careful what we do and the decisions we make. And that goes when that paper that you do, your intervention program, where say make decisions. And you got to make great decisions. The decision that's going to follow you and educate you, not the decision that's going to put you in some place you don't want to be. So get educated, keep moving forward. Be on the lookout December 5th. Me and my wife will be receiving the Humanitarian Award, and that's going to be at the Arizona Hoodie Awards December 5th. Here in Arizona. If you want to come to that event, it's going to be a great event. Reach out to us for tickets at the Streets and Love You Back at gmail.com. The tickets to the event is $15, $20 at the door. So, hey, get with us. Come on out. Have a great time. And just keep moving forward in life. That's the bottom line. And keep getting educated to a better life. So, me and my wife just want to say thanks for calling in and thanks for everybody tonight. Get involved with us at www.thestreetsandloveyouback.com. Peace and love. God bless. We out.